music on a Wednesday. Sound of Tiny Habits right in front of you. Coming right out of your speakers, it's Radio Life and Style. On a Wednesday morning, you had Lola Young just before that. Kenny Rogers with the now late great Dolly Parton, Island in a Stream. Oh man, such sad news hearing the passing of the Queen of Country yesterday. And hey, listen, on the Wednesday morning show right now, we've got, well, you could call him the king of something. Gavin Steinoble, attorney at law, in the house for our regular Wednesday coffee catch-up, talking about the local property market trends and just getting his informed opinion on how life is unfolding on the KZN North Coast. Gavin, welcome on a Wednesday. How are you doing,
yeah,
man?
Good to be here. Nice to have a little bit of pre-spring rain, sort of entering the next phase of... of life on the North Coast, have a bit of spring and then our summer.
After the biting cold that we had and the big wind this weekend.
I wasn't here, but I heard it was massive. We had that little cold snap where it snowed all over the Berg and then the windy.
Yeah, but tell you what, we were packing it in towards the end of winter. But you got away this weekend. You were up in a fairly cold part of the province.
It was much better than the weekend before. We... hopped on our bikes, a couple of mates on Friday morning, and spent 3 days riding through all the dirt roads of the province down to Nottingham Road. Stayed at the old famous Notties Hotel for 2 nights and rode around the district from there with some people we know there. So, yeah, it was just nice to spend a bit of time on the bike again.
Hey, you get around. You get out. I like that.
Yeah. At the moment, my spouse is visiting her folks in Aussie, so... It's a good time for me to shoehorn a bit of fun into the equation and get away and do some things that I, you know, want to do for myself. So yeah, good fun.
You know what? But I think we've been talking about this off air. How you're a good advert for the lifestyle, the sort of balanced life, work hard, play hard kind of North Coast mentality.
Yeah, when you work, and when you play, you play. And but we have, we were also just mentioning off air, you know, how accessible everything is from Ballito. You know, we've got world-class game reserves just up the road, 3.5 hours away. We've got, you know, the Midlands 2 hours away. You know, you can go to the Central or Northern Berg and enjoy that. It's, you know, 3 hours away.
Or Mozambique, just to...
or Mozambique up the road. Or, you know, if you're a golfer, you know, the South Coast golf courses are still magnificent, and that's just down the road. And so, you've got an airport right here. So it's a wonderful place to base yourself in if you enjoy getting out and seeing things and doing things. And it is such a beautiful province. I was reminding myself the whole time again on the bike, you know, because we do all the backcountry stuff. We don't go on the tar roads. And, you know, you're going through farming districts, and then you'll go through Nkunyama Trust land, and then you're back in a farming district. And just the beauty of this province, you know, the mountain passes you didn't know were there, and, you know, just beautiful vistas of the Berg. And we were riding in the Camberg area down the Lateni towards Underberg, and it's just so beautiful out there. And it's really a stunning country. If you enjoy being out there, it's just fantastic.
Well, I want to know, did you get your drone following you? I know you were testing out an autonomous...
I did use it in the Eastern Cape 2 months ago, and I'm not a very good drone pilot, so the footage was a bit disappointing, but I did get it to follow me, and that bit of footage was good, but I need to spend a bit of time with it and learn to fly it in a less jagged way so that the footage isn't so jarring. And it, you know. But it's something I've been looking forward to getting into, but it's just time again.
Oh, well, luckily these things are getting so good. I mean, they're basically fly themselves for a large part of the exercise.
No, it is brilliant. And I mean, the quality of the footage, you know, the camera is just so good and so stable, and it's almost like a cinematic sort of view of what you're doing from a totally different angle.
But this is it. We're talking about it's one thing, but seeing it's another thing. That's why I'm really keen to see the footage of the recent adventure.
I'll send you some.
We're going to have to put some up on our social media and get everyone jealous and inspired to get out there.
And yeah, get out there.
But this idea of having a North Coast base to then explore and adventure and have a really cool balance between, you know, weekend exploring and play, and then during the week getting down to business and plugging into all the activity that is happening in and around this part of the world. A lot of folk are waking up to this fact. A lot of people are looking for this base to launch their life from, and often it starts with a bit of an exploration, maybe a rental, and before someone really looks at putting down roots and buying property on the KZN North Coast, that's the way that they go for a while.
Yeah, the rental market is very buoyant at the moment. There's a lot of people looking for places to hire, and you know, despite all the development on the building, there's still an oversupply of tenants. So that's, yeah, that puts. I've got a unit in Chicana, and every time in Simbiti, and every time the tenant's lease comes up, there's a bit of a bun fight, you know, about, I did speak to you and I've got a guy and this, you know, suddenly there seems to, that's, I know that's anecdotal, but there seems to be, an oversupply of tenants at the moment. And, you know, probably because that sort of three bedroom flat sort of thing is, I don't know if, that's been fairly static in terms of supply, but the number of people that need to hire places like that and are coming in all the time. A lot of the tenants are actually a result of people building.
Ah.
So you've sold your house, you've bought in, for argument's sake, Zululami, you're building your house there for the next 10 months or whatever. You need to stay somewhere, so you're going to hire a place. And that's also part of the rental market that we see.
Mm. But there's also a different slice, and that is folks that are long-term renters, and possibly property ownership is not on the cards in the foreseeable future, and they need to be close to work or life or whatever it is here in and around Ballito. And you find that folks often find a place and are quite happy there, but after a couple of years of annual increases in rental, sort of, I think the average between sort of 8% and 10%, you find that they kind of get priced out of a place and then are forced to sort of look for the next option. But then the kind of baseline has crept up everywhere.
It's sort of like a compound interest, because the 8% that you've kicked it up this year, next year that 8% is included in the amount that you calculate to your 8% escalation. So it does compound annually. It's not as bad as a bank loan that compounds monthly, but in any event, there's reasons for that. I mean, I'm looking at it in some ways from the other side as well, and saying, well, okay, well, every month or every year your levies go up, your rates go up, the cost of getting anything fixed that's broken goes up, and so as the property owner, you're also experiencing inflationary pressures.
Yeah,
and so a rental of 20,000 rand. This year you can't stick to when all your levies and rates have gone up, so you're going to have to bump it up as well. And secondly, as we know, with inflation, the value of a rand in 2026, in 2027, a rand will buy you a lot less. Not a lot less, but it's, at least it's not a rand anymore. It's now 90 cents. Yeah. And so you need to account for that as well. So it is just, it's just a fact of life that things go up every year. Especially in an environment where we're looking at 4 or 5% of inflation year on year just on consumer goods. So
yeah,
that's that little basket of goods is not really exactly exemplary of what we consume. So the CPI is calculated on a specific basket of goods that might not include things like going out for a meal, which has become a lot more expensive over the last 5 years, I've noticed.
I think one of the interesting sort of benchmarks to look at is the thing called the Braai Index. Have you come across this notion?
No, it sounds interesting.
The Braai Index is a really interesting tracker. It's compiled monthly by Business Tech using ground-level pricing data from the Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group.
Oh, dear. That sounds like one of those.
Well, it's actually really interesting. What they do, they track a standard selection of essential braai goods. You know, the typical basket of stuff that you would need to put together a good braai, South African braai.
Some nice vorse, a steak, a chop.
That's the thing. Exactly that. Chicken portions.
A head of lettuce.
Garlic loaf, whatever it is, but
a carrot for the vegans.
Yeah, sump, maize, curry powder, salt, tomatoes, potato, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting tracker to kind of get a sense for, you know, sometimes the official inflationary stats or consumer. Retailer reports will say, okay, no, overall, you know, things are trending downwards. But then you look at the braai index and they'll say, well, actually, you know, there's a couple of items in that basket that are really counteracting the overall effect. Looks like between June and July 2026, the braai index increased by almost 0.9%, driven by ongoing energy and transportation costs.
Well, yeah, look at that. I mean, that's 1% in a month. You know, that's a 12% annual sort of inflation rate if it persists. And yeah, that's quite a bit higher than the 5%.
But I wonder, you know, there's an argument to be made that if you are a landlord and you have a really good tenant, I mean the kind of tenant that really looks after your place and hardly ever stirs a fuss, and you know,
look, they're gold. I mean, if you've got a tenant who, first of all, as you say, isn't too hard wearing on your property, and secondly is a reliable and good payer, so the rent's in on the first of every month, you never have to call for it or ask for it, or, you know, because you also depend on it for other, you know, for other things that you intend to apply the rental to.
Yeah,
and you have to pay the tax on it and all of that. So if you've got a tenant like that, you know, you might say, well, you know, it's worth sucking up a little bit of the inflationary effect and not going to 8%. You know, I've certainly done it with, you know, when you've had a good tenant, you say, well, okay, well, there's an enticement to keep you here rather than you becoming a good tenant to somebody else.
I think there's leverage there.
I'll definitely won't charge you the top percentage that everybody's thinking about at the moment, and I'll suck up a little bit of it. As a landlord, obviously, you can't indefinitely keep doing that because you'll fall behind the curve, you know, in terms of your costs going up continually but your rental remaining static, you know, then you're farming backwards. And so yeah, but it's a negotiation, and it's worth having if there are a lot of tenants around, and you as a tenant you say, look, I'm not going to pay any more than what I'm paying now. Obviously the landlord will think, well, okay, there's a lot of tenants swimming around who will, so why would I shoot myself in the foot? So, but you never know what you're getting. You know, sometimes it's always often the better the devil, you know, and say, look, I know this chap is reliable, whatever, and I want to keep him, and I'll in that negotiation, I'll know that in the back of my mind, and say, look, I've got to speak to him at a level where I want to retain him, and not get his back up and see him drift off and be a good tenant to somebody else. So yeah, that is a negotiation. And obviously, if you're a tenant and you are a good tenant, then you know you are, and you know you can talk a little bit harder to the need not to escalate at the maximum.
I think that is definitely, if you're in that position, if you are a good tenant and if your lease is coming up, I think you've got some strong grounds to just have that conversation and to say, listen, let's... Can we be reasonable, and can we look at maybe 4% instead of 8%? Mm. And you know, in light of the fact that...
Also, there's also the risk that just through sheer sort of, you know, dint of asking agents to bring tenants around, and so you could lose a month's rental, which means that, you know, whatever you bump it up by is lost.
Think about that.
Yeah, so there's all of that. You know, it's a negotiation. I think... If you're a good tenant and if you have a good landlord, it's worth, you know, remembering that when you go into the discussion.
Well, I think that next week it might be worth us having a chat about some of the interesting red flags that sometimes creep into contracts, whether they are, you know, long-term leases or other property contracts and documents.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, I've heard some really, really quite shocking tales of certain provisions and clauses being tucked into things that have been swept under the carpet of sort of agencies that try to
get,
push them.
In. You know, like all human beings, you get tenants that are, you know, that are a joy and tenants that aren't. And then you get landlords that are great landlords and fix things when you ask them to, and make sure that that their end of the bargain is held up. And then you get landlords who won't spend a penny and just want to take rent. So there's a, you know, there's always a spectrum of people on either side. And, you know, if you're in a little abusive one, then maybe just change landlord or change tenant.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll pick up on this in a week's time, and I'll do some digging around as well and see what tales I can unearth from the local
community. Yeah, maybe we can just speak about the general principles, you know, the commercial principles of letting your property out or hiring a property from somebody. You know, who pays the levies ordinarily, who pays the rates ordinarily, what does the tenant pay ordinarily, so that you know where the benchmarks are, and you know whether your situations may be unfair.
And if it is, what is your recourse, you know, what is your point of action from there?
Yeah, I find a lot of people sign, where do I sign, here we go, and then afterwards, you know, oh dear, I committed to this and I committed to that, and it's, well, okay, well, by then it's caveat emptor. So.
Buyer beware. Yeah. You're getting it here. The news on the local property front, and an informed opinion from none other than Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law. He knows his stuff. And if you're looking for a rock solid attorney in legal practice to assist with your attorney, notary, or conveyancer work, well, Gavin, where can we find you and the Kloppers Inc. team?
Yeah, we're down in Sandra Road on the ground floor of the Bolito Center. It's properly signposted. You can't really miss it when you drive through there. Otherwise, find us online.
Or on a single track somewhere on a weekend.
On the weekend, yeah. Please don't.
We'll leave it for a Wednesday on the radio. We'll be back again. Thanks for the coffee, as always, Gavin. And looking forward to picking up the pieces same time next week.
Yeah, fantastic.
You got it on Radio Life and Style.